Good morning. Or as they used to say at the telephone company, hello. Y'all remember when they had live operators? I do. Man, I miss that. I don't like talking to machines. All right. Well, we're still talking about worship. We talked last week about God sending Moses to the children of Israel, and God blessed the staff that Moses carried, and he was able to perform miracles. Well, God did it, but he had Moses using that staff, and it said the elders believed him when he said the Lord had sent him, and they worshiped. Well, the very next day when Pharaoh got hard-nosed and said, you can build bricks without straw, you have to gather your own, they forgot about the worship, and they said, now you made us stink. You know, so we're going to jump ahead now. I'm not going to go through the 10 plagues. Those are all sermons in themselves, especially the Passover. But we're going to jump ahead now to after the Passover. God killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians. He told the Jews, every one of you take a lamb per family. If you're a small family, take a lamb for two. Slaughter it at twilight. Roast all the flesh. The flesh, the innards, everything. Eat it. And what isn't eaten has to be burned in the morning. But the important thing was they had to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. It's because God said, when I send the destroyer through there, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. So that's where we got the name Passover from. Well, it was during Passover that Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron, and he said, get your people and get out of here. They thought all of them were going to die. And God had promised them, when you leave, you won't leave empty. So Moses told the women, go to your neighbors and borrow jewelry, clothing, anything you want, and they'll give it to you. So they spoiled the Egyptians. I look at it as 430 years of back pay for their slavery. Today we're going to read the whole chapter of Exodus 14. It's not that long, but we're going to jump ahead now to the Red Sea crossing. Very familiar story, the crossing of the Red Sea. But we're still talking about worship, the subject of worship. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea in front of Baal Zephon. And you shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, what is this we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped at the sea by Pihahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The Lord said to Moses, Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels, so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Father, I thank you for your word. It never returns to you void. And Lord, there's so much in this passage. Help me to keep on track. Anoint your servant, Lord, to preach your word. Anoint the hearers, Lord, to hear the truth, and not only to hear this, but to act upon it, Lord. For we have everything we need to have be partakers of the divine nature, and we forget that, Lord. And I pray today you will make that real to us, so real that we'll begin to walk in that victory of faith in Jesus Christ. And I ask it in his name, amen. The story of Israel being delivered from Egypt is a parallel of the Christian today being delivered from the world. Next week I want to talk about Canaan, the promised land, but it's not heaven, okay? Christian, you're in Canaan today. Well, I better not do that because I'll get into that sermon instead of this one. The people groaned. Remember when God appeared to Moses, he said, I've heard their groaning. I have seen what the taskmasters are doing to them. And I told you, Dr. Clark said, God said, what my eyes have seen has affected my heart. My heart's going out to these, they're my people. And he told Moses, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh and tell him to let the people go. But he won't let them go. And Moses said, well, why should I go talk to him? He said, they're going to ask me your name, and God gave him his name. He said, they're not going to believe you sent me. And he had a shepherd's staff, and God said, what's that in your hand? He said, a staff. Some translations say a rod. He said, throw it down, it became a snake. Moses ran from it. God said, catch it by the tail. He caught it by the tail and it became a stick again. And he said, put your hand in your cloak. And when he pulled it out, it was leprous. When he put it back in and pulled it out, it was restored. Then he said, if they won't listen to those two signs, take some water from the Nile, pour it on the ground, and it'll become blood. Well, as I said at the start here, when the elders saw these signs, it said they bowed and worshipped. And I told you that according to Dr. Clark, the implication wasn't that they just bowed their heads. They got on their knees, and then they stretched out prostrate on the ground. And they worshiped God, and they said, oh, thank you. They humbled themselves. They put their face in the dirt, literally is what it means. And they thanked God for hearing their prayers. And now God has used 10 plagues to convince the Egyptians, you need to let my people go. Pharaoh at the beginning said, who is your God? Well, now he's found out. You know, yeah, we don't want to do this anymore. You go. And they have left. And I love, it says they're marching defiantly. One translation says boldly. They got that walk. Yeah. I'm sorry, my knees won't let me bounce like I want to. But yeah. You know, God is on our side. God's delivered us out of slavery. They're full of joy. No more beatings. You know, no more working from can't see to can't see. Now we're going to be a free people, and they're marching free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. Yeah. And they are marching defiantly, and they think it's over. No more trouble. God done whipped the Egyptians, and they're back home licking their wounds, and they're not going to bother us anymore. But is that what God said? No, he said, Moses, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Moses probably thought, I wish you'd stop doing that. Every time you do that, there's trouble. But God said, I'm going to harden his heart. He's going to think you're trapped by the desert, and he's going to come after you. You see, Moses had been a general in the Egyptian army, and he was known as a brilliant tactician. Josephus, the historian, tells that. And when Moses takes the people to this area, there's mountains on both sides and the sea at their back. Pharaoh's thinking, what an idiot. He doesn't have any retreat. He's on this low ground. And you know, I told you I had a short but brilliant military career. You want to be on the high ground because you can see what's going on for a long ways. And the people that get in the low ground, you can pick them off like fish in a barrel. And Pharaoh's thinking, what an idiot. Moses has those people down in the holler. That's what we say here, holler. H-O-L-L-O-W, holler. I had a guy from California one time said, how do you spell that? I said, H-O-L-L-O-W, holler. He said, that spells hollow. I said, I know, but here hollow means empty. We call them hollers. And they were in the holler, and Pharaoh goes, what did we do? You know what he did? He repented. That's what repentance means. He changed his mind, and he said, why did we let these people go? So he gets his whole army together. Imagine this. They get in their chariots. There's two men to a chariot. He had 600 chosen chariots. That was the best of the line, the best in the fleet. These were the limousines of chariots. And they're leading the way, and the rest of his chariots, his horsemen and his footmen are following. And they are going hard. Their recon has said, they're over here. And Pharaoh said, boy, we're going to end this in one fell swoop. His intention was to go in and kill a lot of them and bring the rest back and say, now, you ever ask to leave again, that's what you got to look forward to. See, Pharaoh thought he was in control. Yeah, he thought, well, I'm still in control. I am the Pharaoh. And they start in after the army. And it's sad because it said they're marching defiantly. Boy, they're just tripping along here. Yeah. And some of them go, whoa! Moses! Look! And said when they saw the army, they cried out in fear. They cried to the Lord. They went from worship to defeat. They did. They said, Moses was there because there's no graves to bury us in Egypt. You brought us out here to die. Well, did God say, I want you to go to the wilderness and die? That's not what he said. He said, I'm going to send you to Canaan, just like I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he takes them out of slavery, and they think all the trouble's done. When you got saved, did you think that, oh man, it's going to be a smooth road from here on out? You know, I've changed my friends. I've changed my habits. I think God will like me better now. You know, so God's going to treat me better. The only thing we forgot about was the old devil, old Pharaoh. And the old devil said, well... And Israel did what Israel did best. Moses! You brought us out here to kill us! And Moses goes, just stand and be quiet and watch the Lord deliver you. But it said, the Lord said, why are you crying out to me? Because I think Moses on this is going, God! You know what God said? Moses. God, Moses. God, Moses. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to holler at you and you're supposed to give me an answer right away. God, this is my paraphrasation of the Hebrew. God said, the stick, man. Moses, the stick. You remember that stick? That was yours, and you gave it to me, and I blessed it, and I gave it back to you. And I said, now don't forget where you got this stick. Was the stick doing the miracles? No, God was doing the miracles. The stick was something Moses could look at, and it would increase his faith. It was something tactile that he could hang on to. And Moses said, this is God's stick. 7 of the 10 plagues, God said, take your stick, Moses. And do this, and there's going to be a plague. Moses, okay, woo, up there like that. And look at the plagues. Look at the plagues. Now they're out here in the desert, and the people go, Moses! Moses goes, God! God said, Moses. What? He said, why are you crying out to me? Now, Christian, if you've been a Christian very long, you're going to have these times in your life, you're going to cry out to God, and God's going to look at you and say, why are you belly aching? Why are you whining? Moses, the stick. Remember the stick? Well, yeah. You want me to make it a snake? God said, no. First he said, tell Israel to go forward. God, there's a sea in our way. God said, that's just a small obstacle, Moses. What did it take for them to go forward? Faith. And I can imagine when God said, Moses, what's the problem? Sea? Water? Half these people can't swim? Most of us won't make it to the other side? You see, they're looking at the problem instead of the answer. God, this is an unfathomable problem, insurmountable problem. We can't do anything. And God said, you're right, but I can. Yeah, he said, go forward. Okay, come on, guys. God said, go forward. Do what? These are my Gucci sandals, man. I'm not going to get them all wet. It said they moved. Okay. He said, now take your stick. I love that. Moses called it God's stick. God called it Moses' stick. You see, when we come to Christ and we're born again, the Bible says that Jesus led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men, us. And we call them the Holy Spirit's gifts. He calls them ours. Yeah. Moses stuck his stick up in the air, said, I don't know what's going to happen, but da-da-da, and the waters parted. Cool! Now, I don't think anybody there said, I ain't walking through there. You know. Well, you got a choice. You walk through here and you walk back where the Egyptian army's waiting. Well, I'm going to go here. So they get down and they step off the bank and they're walking through on dry ground. The cloud that has been in front of them, God led them with a pillar of cloud by the day. It was shade in the desert heat, and a pillar of fire by night so they could see where they were going. They had His presence right in front of them. You talk about tactile proof that God was with them. There's the cloud, man. That's God. There's the fire. That's God. God's with us. Moses! And the cloud's right there, and they're going, Moses! You brought us out here to die. Boy, that's unbelief. How many people have I seen walk away from Jesus Christ with those very words? He brought me here to die. If God really saved me, if God really called me, this and this would happen in my life. I should have no opposition. Yea, verily. I should walk in roses. The devil should bow every time I walk by. He should step aside and say, ooh, pardon me. That's not what happens. Satan will oppose you every step of the way. Every step of the way. And what do? God! Rick? What are you doing? What do you mean? What are you doing? Why are you whining? Why are you crying out to me? I need this extra. There ain't no extra, Bubba. One time the Holy Spirit told me when I was in prayer, and more than once since then, I did everything I needed to do for you on the cross, Rick. I have done everything that I need to do for you to be a partaker of the divine nature. I am a son of the living God. You are sons and daughters of God, and He didn't call us to be defeated, church. Why are we walking that way today? The world's going to hell and the church is sitting here in the wall saying, well, we don't want to offend anybody. What if they get mad at us? God, what if they get mad? Well, they're going to get mad. Jesus said, I guarantee you, they're going to get mad. He said, those who hate me, they're going to hate you. I remember a young preacher, God bless his heart, he was all into this love. Now, I'm into love, okay? But I'm into repentance. I'm into repentance followed by works. I'm into a life change to show that you are a child of God, not lip service, but life change. And he said, brother, we need to be more like Jesus and speak in love. And I said, I agree with you. But I said, no man loved like Jesus, but they nailed him to a tree. I said, love, brother, isn't the absence of warning. God has called His church to be His witnesses in this wicked, sinful world that He is God and He changes lives. And He left us in enemy territory. I've talked to some paratroopers that were in World War II that got dropped way behind enemy lines. And they talked about that constant, man, that adrenaline rush. I'm not in friendly territory. It's most likely somebody I meet is going to try to kill me. Jesus left you in such a place. He said, in this world you're going to have a lot of trouble, but be of good cheer. Have joy because I overcame the world. Who are you following? I'm following the overcomer. Are you? Yeah. That makes me pray different, church. I pray for my lost kids and I don't go, oh God, if it's your will, would you please do that? I say, it is your will. You're not willing that any of them should perish. So God, I'm telling you, hey, it's what His Word says. God, I'm telling you that I believe that you're going to save my kids. Or they're going to say no and walk back into Egypt. The one thing I know, whatever choice they make, I know that my God's faithful to His Word, and He will do what I've asked Him to do. And I know that in this fight against the devil. Church, it's so easy for us to get caught up in a situation and not see the Savior. We just see the situation. That's what Israel did. They said, God, there's a sea! And the Egyptians are behind us. We're cut off. And God said, well, just walk forward. Man, there's water in the way. Lord, what don't you get? You brought us out here to die? God goes, no, I'll just move the water. Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, shall have what he asked. Well, yeah, but that was Jesus, man. But he was talking to his church. He said to his church, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. Oh, Lord, we're not worthy of that. Well, I know you're not worthy of it. I didn't say I gave it to you because you're worthy. I said because I defeated the devil, I defeated death, I defeated hell. Now I have the keys in my hand, and I'm giving them to you, church. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, and he said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Will not. He didn't say maybe. He may just say, well, I'm hoping they don't. Jesus stomped the devil's head on the cross, and he given that victory to his church. You know why the church isn't going forward today? I can tell you in one word, unbelief. Unbelief. We don't believe that God will use us to save any sinners. God help us. If you were saved from sin, you have a testimony. You don't have to be an axe murderer to have a testimony. Satan will oppose you. And I think that's why a lot of Christians choose not to get involved in any ministry, because I don't want the trouble. You know, I don't want to make waves. I don't want people mad at me. I want to get along with everybody. Can't we all just get along? You know? No? Did you know there's a movement going on in this country today to try to bring the Muslims and the Christians together as children of faith? You know, those aren't my brothers and sisters. Their Allah is not my God. Their Allah is the Prince of the Power of the Air. And that goes against everything in me that the Holy Spirit has put there when some panty-waisted preacher stands up and says, we all just need to get along. You know, let's just all, we all pray to the same deity. No, we don't. When God judged Egypt, He said, Moses, I'm going to get my glory on Egypt and all their gods. Woo! Yeah. And it said he looked out. He saw the Egyptians there and he looked out and he goes, Moses! Yeah? Wave your hand back over the sea. Okay. By then, Moses isn't arguing. Okay, I waved it once and it opened. I'm going to wave it again. God said, I'm going to close it on the Egyptians. That meant that about half of the water fell and the other didn't because they were still in it. God said, this is for my glory. Church, you are saved today for God's glory, not yours. This church doesn't belong to the elders. This church doesn't belong to the preacher. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. It is to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And we've quit lifting Him up and we're trying to exalt ourselves. Let me tell you, that doesn't work well. That doesn't bode well with God. He will not put up with that. And if you persist in it, any church that does that, they become a country club. They become a fraternity like Masons because the Spirit of the Lord will move out. It grieves Him. Israel was worshiping God and they're walking on high cotton one minute and then they're belly aching the next. God, did you bring us out here to die? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? Keith Green wrote a song called So You Want to Go Back to Egypt. I'm gonna find it and have it played for a special here one day. I'm going to tell you something. It'll make you think. He said, are you sorry you're out here in the desert instead of your own backyard? Are you sorry you bought that one-way ticket when you thought you were sure? Now, when they get on the other side of the sea and they look back and they see all these dead Egyptians, Miriam breaks out her tambourine and she starts to dancing, and the women of Israel jump out there and they dance with her and they start singing what's called the Song of Moses, and the whole nation is singing and praising God, and the horse and the rider you threw into the sea. David Wilkerson made an observation I agree with. Right song, wrong side. Right song, wrong side. Why couldn't they sing that when they was over on the other side? Yeah, speaking by faith. Hey, my God's God. He'll throw them Egyptians into the middle of the sea. He's going to stop them. The Lord said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know, you need to start claiming that. Oh my gosh, he's getting to be like Copeland. You know, next thing he'll tell us that we got to buy him a jet. No. I'm telling you that God's a God of his word. He said, my word will do what I sent it out to do. Yeah. And do you know that he sent his word to heal us? Boy, if anybody, I needed healed. I was a sinner. When Paul said I was the chief of sinners, I'd argue with Paul and say, nah, Paul, you was a Sunday school kid compared to me. But God sent his word and healed me. I'm not that man anymore. But you know what happened? I made an enemy, and his name is Satan. And when I first surrendered to the call of ministry, I got cocky. He took that out of me real quick. And I remember kneeling at that altar in that Nazarene church, and I said, devil, I'm answering God's call. I'm going to serve him. And if you want to stop me, you're going to have to kill me. He goes, okay. Yeah. And he's tried to a couple times. God's not done with me. You mean the devil caused you to have a heart attack? No, my eating habits caused me to have a heart attack. My smoking caused me to have a heart attack. That's what the doctor said. How long did you smoke? Well, over 20 years. Well, that's what happens when you smoke. But the night of my surgery, I wrote letters to all my family, just in case I didn't make it, all my wife and my kids. And before I went to bed, I was praying. I said, Lord, let your will be done. He said, I'm not done with you yet. Okay. Yeah, and the elders came and prayed for me the next day. I just love them to death for that. But I said, I'm okay, guys. Yeah, God told me I'm not done. And I woke up in ICU in darkness, total darkness. And I had a tube in my throat. They were breathing for me. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this is what the Spirit of the Lord has taught me to do over the years. And I laid there and I remember saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I said it over and over and over, because all I could see was black. And his peace come on me, and I went back to sleep. Yeah. God will finish the work he's begun in you, Christian, if you allow it. Church, let's quit walking in unbelief. I've been praying for 13 years. God, give us Mansfield. Thursday night, I had a couple come. And they said something that was, to me, showed, yeah, they've got a little discernment going here. They said, we're in darkness. This world of drugs we're in, it's dark. I said, why don't you come join us on Sunday morning? We got the light. Yeah. I said, why don't you surrender your lives to Jesus Christ? He'll break that darkness. He'll drive it out. Well, what if he doesn't? That's not my concern. He is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world, Jesus Christ. I don't have to beg for him to do anything. He already said he'll do it. But he said, you're going to have trouble in the world, church. You will have trouble. In fact, he said, the time is coming when somebody who kills you will think they're doing me a favor. What are we going to do? When you come to the obstacle, are you going to stand there and bellyache? I didn't know this was in the deal. I've seen Christians do it. A friend of mine, after I got saved, he picked me up walking one day, and he said, hey, man, you on a showboat? That's what he called dropping acid. I don't know where he got that. You on a showboat? I said, no, man, I came to Christ. I heard that. He said, I tried it for a while, but it just didn't work. I said, I don't walk in my own power, brother. In Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Yeah. Now, on the inside, I was going, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus, because I like dropping acid. You saw things that weren't there, and things got funny that wasn't funny, and, you know, woo. So the temptation was there. But Jesus Christ defeated that on the cross. It has no power over me. That's what I tell these people I counsel now. I told one guy, I said, the only difference between you and me, I'm still an addict, but I said, I have Jesus Christ and you don't. I said, I fall back on him. And I said, man, there ain't no high like the Holy Ghost. A pure high who brings you into the presence of God. You can keep your sense of meal and your mishmakan and all that other stuff, man. I'll take Jesus. But in taking Jesus, he says, I am the water that overflows. It's to reach out to people around you. He didn't save you so you can sit back on your blessed assurance and sing, Jesus is mine. The world doesn't know it, but I do, so I'll go to heaven and they're all going to hell. The church is responsible for the generation it lives in. Do you know that? This church is responsible for this generation that we're in. We're to reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the promise of release from sin. You see, the parallel between Egypt deliverance and the world, it's right there in front of you in the Word. If you're a Christian, God has pulled you out of Egypt. He's put you into the Son of the Kingdom of the Son of His love. But you're still in enemy territory, and He says, now you go. You tell people what I've done in your life. We just got it in our heads. We got to have this great big testimony. You know, I was a mass murderer. I strangled my mother-in-law with a wire. And then I heard the gospel of Jesus, and now I'm a preacher. Tell us about Jesus. You know. Hey, I'd rather hear a guy said, I got saved when I was 10 years old, and I was pure till the day of my marriage, and I didn't get into drugs, and I didn't get into alcohol, and Jesus Christ saved me, kept me out of all that trouble. I got a lot of knots and scars from the life I lived, and a lot of conscience still bothers me. The enemy will use your past. Stop living in the past. Yeah, don't live in the past. The Bible says that my past is hid in Jesus Christ. What a place for it to be hid. Devil will go to God and say, you remember when Rick used to? And God will go, no. That's not the Rick I know. Yeah, but I'm talking about when he used to. And God say, you, that guy's dead, Satan. Why are you bringing up a dead man? But I have to remind myself of that. That guy's dead. Church, God loves you so much that He sent His Son to redeem you, to buy you back from sin. Why would you want to live in that and play with it and flirt with it? You know, when I read the Old Testament now, I get such a blessing. And I realize this isn't a book of history like some mistakenly say. This is a book that reveals the divine character. The God who's a God of His Word. The God who keeps His promise and His covenants. What a hope we have. We have a better covenant than they had. Theirs was ratified with goat's blood. Ours is ratified with the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. How much better? I don't have to have a priest. I can go right into the throne room of grace. Boldly, the Bible says. That's not presumptuously. That's not arrogantly. That's boldly. As a child of the King, and say, Father, I need help. And sometimes when I do that, He goes, Rick, what are you whining to me for? Well, I'm just on my pity party, God. Do you believe that God will finish the work He started in you, Christian? Amen. Then don't let the things in this life stop you from going forward. When Satan knocks you down, get back up. The Scriptures say a righteous man will fall seven times and seven times he'll get back up. I think it was the prophet Micah who said, Do not rejoice against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Glory! What a promise! Yeah! Don't go looking for the devil to pick a fight with him. That's stupid. But I'm saying if he opposes you, don't get your eyes fixed on the situation because it looks hopeless. It looks hopeless to me that some of my kids will ever receive Jesus Christ. But see, that's not what I'm focusing my attention on. I'm focusing my attention on Jesus Christ who came to seek and save the lost. Yeah. And some of my kids are in that number. Satan has come against this church in a lot of ways. It's still here today because of God. Okay? Not because of me or anyone else. This is the church of Jesus Christ. The ecclesia, the called out ones. And this church is going to grow. I have that from the Holy Spirit. Yeah. God said, I'm not done with the church. Yeah. But you know what kind of people is going to be coming in here? The dopers. The drunks. The liars. Yeah. And hopefully we're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and we're going to see Him changed. That's what He does. That's what He's in the business of doing. Would you stand with me this morning? What a God we serve. Yes, what a God we serve. He is on our side. And Paul said, if He is for us, who can stand against us? What's the answer? Nobody. You can defeat yourself. You can defeat yourself, Christian. You can live the defeated life because you choose to. You need to start walking in that victory that Jesus Christ gives us. If you're here this morning and you've never called on the name of the Lord, you've never asked Him to forgive you and to make you a child of God, then do that before you leave. You come up here and sit down, hang around till after church. I'll be glad to talk with you. And please don't think I'm making light of anyone's problems here. I understand the struggles that we all go through. I suffer from depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm wrapping up. And sometimes I get these spells, I can't describe it if you've never went through it, of total darkness. gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know what I'm talking about? And just a while back, this is going to sound Pentecostal, but I don't care. Just a while back, it's usually Mondays when it happens after I preach, this darkness, this foreboding, this hopeless feeling came over me, and I got up and said, "No, you don't, in the name of Jesus. Spirit of depression, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. You get out of here." And man, my mood has been so much more improved. Glory to God. I still take my pills. Don't worry about that. But and I know some of you sitting here going, "I don't believe that. I don't believe in a spirit of depression." Well, you're not the one he was bothering. It was me. Mm-hmm. I think the Holy Spirit said, "Rick, you go peddle your trash somewhere else, devil. I'm a child of the King."
Amen.
Amen. Would you come as we sing our hymn of invitation? If you need to surrender your life to the Lord as a Christian, do it before you leave here. He wants your all or not at all. That's the way it is with Him. Do something as we sing the hymn of invitation, please.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
Tonight, as Dr. Mark will be teaching on 1 Peter,
end of 4.
It's been a real good study. And if you're missing it, you're missing something. So please be here if you can, 6 o'clock. I have a prayer request here from Questel. It's of a very delicate matter, and I'm asking you not to let it leave the church. But she has a young nephew who's decided he's the wrong gender, and he's seeking the surgery. And she has asked that the church be praying for him. This world is deceived.
Amen.
The God of this world has deceived this young man. We know the one who can take the veil away, that the blinders. So let's be lifting this young man up in prayer. We don't need to know his name. But let's lift him up in prayer before the Lord God and ask Him to take those blinders off. God doesn't make mistakes.
That's right.
Yeah. And doubt and confusion is from the enemy. It's not from God.
Yep.
So pray in that power and in that faith, knowing that this is a direct assault. And please do not spread this out, okay? this is a safe haven, this place. You have to be able to come here and empty your heart out if you want without fear of the whole town knowing about it. Are there any other prayer requests? Mark?
Desiree starts her physical therapy.
Okay, be praying for Desiree. I went and saw her the other day, Mark and I did, and she looks and sounds so much better. There's been a lot of prayers answered. So praise God for that. Be praying for the rehab because that's not pleasant. They stretch and pull and twist, but they're getting ready to come home. Anything else?
My friend Cheryl Yarber is supposed to go see a cardiologist. They found something in her echocardiogram.
Okay. What's her name?
Cheryl Yarber.
Cheryl, okay. Be praying for her. Anything else before we close? Okay. I'm going to ask Dot if she will close in prayer for us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for being with Moses and showing the Israelites that there was hope, Father. And I pray, Father, that we can have more than the hope. Help us to have the faith that goes with it as they did. Father, their faith was very weak, and ours is too. Father, sometimes we need you so much, but we won't ask, and we won't step out, and we won't believe like we should. I pray, Father, when we leave the store this morning, that you would help us to have the faith that we need, Father, and more so. Help us, Father, to have enough faith to step out for you, to honor you, to speak to others, Father, to reach out to them because they are lost. Father, we need to seek those lost. Help us to do that. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you for blessing Rick for being especially a wonderful tool that you can use, Father, to speak to each of us individually. And I just pray, Father, that we take what is said today, the lessons that we've learned from your word, and the thoughts that you've put in our hearts, Father. And I pray, Father, that we will be useful and be faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.